D-Maze Vingen and Donick 102.5, the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you live at Bridgestone Arena, where the Predators will host the Carolina Hurricanes. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6, right here on 102.5, the game. David James is back at our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Wes on our text line says, I, for one, do not want to be all up in Mike McCarthy, Willie, but thank you for that image.
Oh, my goodness.
It's the beauty of radio.
Yes.
Yes.
You can conjure up anything in your mind.
But here's the thing, Willie, and I say this lovingly. You don't give off a hip vibe. I think you're a hip guy, but you don't give off a hip vibe. So when you say all up in, it sounds strange coming from you.
I'm full of surprises. I'm full of surprises.
Hey,
am
man.
I wrong,
Willie's
Derek?
Cool. Wait, no, you're
Willie,
right.
Willie
but
is
cool.
Willie is sneakily cool.
Yeah, he's cool.
Sneakily.
Sneakily. If you spend a lot of time with Willie, you realize how cool he is. But if you just watch him on TV or listen to him on our show, you might be like, what a nerd. But, you know, we love you, Willie. All right.
Maybe I need to reveal a few more points of coolness.
Well, had you heard of the term corpsing before I mentioned
no,
it about Derek
I had not.
Mason? Okay, well, now you have
okay.
a new term, which means
I've expanded my horizons.
Right. When you're
That's
watching,
what we do on this show.
When you're watching Saturday Night Live and someone breaks character, they're corpsing. That's what Derek Mason was doing.
Okay.
He was laughing so hard, he couldn't get any words out. But anyway, okay. So, last week, Titans lose on the road at San Francisco. And after the game, all of the reporters who were there, Teron Davenport, Paul Gaharski, among others, are sharing video clips from the post-game news conferences, interviews in the locker room. And I saw this from Paul Gaharski from Arden Key. Here's what Arden Key said after the game on Sunday, the loss to the 49ers.
We got to adjust. We don't adjust enough over here. We don't adjust. We don't adjust. That's what it is. We don't adjust.
In what way? Like,
yeah.
You mean X and O's?
X and O's. We don't adjust.
So are you saying like that's something that, you know, the coaches need to do better? Or are you?
We all need to do better on that.
Gotcha.
I like to run at the end. Gotcha.
Gotcha.
Did you get it, guys? They don't adjust.
I think what he was trying to say is
they don't adjust.
They don't adjust.
They don't adjust. Well, Titans defensive coordinator Denard Wilson was asked, I believe this was yesterday, to respond to Arden Key's comments about the coaching staff not adjusting. Here's what Denard Wilson said in response.
We adjust all the time. You know, sometimes you look at it in the second half. I mean, what other adjustments do we need? We lost a one-on-one ball in man coverage, and we missed a tackle. And we didn't hinge on cover two. I don't know what else adjustments that we needed. You know, at this point, you know, everybody has an opinion, you know, about everything. You know, everybody needs to just stay in their lane and focus on what they need to focus on.
Denard Wilson telling Arden Key, stay in your lane. Derek, your thoughts on Key's comments and Denard Wilson's response.
Fight, 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 fight.
Yes,
fight.
Schoolyard bash.
All right. Arden Key, this is frustration. You can tell it's frustration. It's complete frustration. He's not playing well. The team's not playing well. Because I look at it, when Arden Key was playing well, adjusting wasn't a problem. Adjustments was not the problem. And listen, Arden Key haven't done something that other players haven't done. Other players have voiced their, you know, displeasure. As far as the team or what's happening or what's not happening when they're in this losing sort of funk. Players done it at the beginning of the football, when football was invented, to now. They're going to continue to do it. Here's the problem with it. And when you're a bad team, the one thing you can't have is leaks and cracks and finger pointing and it's their fault, and you can't have all that stuff. You're trying to get yourself out of this losing culture, but then again, the losing culture finds its way in the building no matter what. Again, I'm not saying that Arden Key, what he was thinking isn't wrong. Maybe they do need to adjust. I don't know. But as a former player, I understand a lot of this comes from frustration. But he's considered, again, he's considered as one of the leaders on the team. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. He could have said that in a whole totally different way and still get that point across. For example, I've been a part of it, you know, was a part of it for 15 years. And there were times where our offense was fluttering or whatnot. And the question was asked to me. And my thing was, we all need to get better. Everybody, we all need to adjust. We all need to get better. I don't start off with, we don't know how to adjust. That implies the coaches. It doesn't imply the players. Because the players only adjust to what the coaches do. The players can't go out there and make changes on their own. At least not majority of them can. I know a few guys, Ed Reed, Ray Lewis, guys like that, that they can tweak some things because they see something. But that's very far and few between. But when you have a situation like this, you have to be able to include everybody in this. Because what he said directly pointed toward the coaching staff. That's why when TD said, what do you mean? He understood what he said. Like, damn, I said that. Now I can't really go into it. I just got to say, we just need to make some adjustments. And now Denard Wilson is on the defensive now.
Right. And force him to answer this. Yes.
And then Arden Key, how much adjusting do you want this man to do? Y'all secondary is depleted.
It's a skeleton crew out
y'all,
there.
Our defense has been hurt.
He doesn't have many chess pieces
out
there.
Yeah, he doesn't have many things to move. And this is why
it was not worth doing this.
It wasn't. And I remember, and I didn't even say it in public.
And he's not a good enough player to be saying that. Let's be honest. It's not – Simmons could probably say it.
Uh-huh.
Arden Key does not need to be saying that. Arden Key is a okay pass rusher on a bad team.
He's a solid player.
He's okay.
Arden Key is a solid player.
He's okay.
Four sacks this season.
Here's the thing. Again, I go back to me, and I remember saying something to Mike Heimerdinger, and it wasn't even on through the newspaper, or we didn't have social media. So it wasn't all that. It was amongst us during the game. And he was like, okay, here, you call the play. You tell me what I need to do. You tell me the adjustments. And I was like, you know what? I need to just shut up. I need to shut up and go out there and do my job and try to make it better for all of us. Because that's a big responsibility right there. Yeah. And I don't know exactly all that he's dealing with. When you make that statement, you got to know all that the defensive coordinator is dealing with. Some defensive coordinators are just bad. But Denard Wilson has shown that if he got talent, he can work with it. He doesn't have that much talent. The team isn't talented.
He has no talent.
Exactly. So, Arden Key, man, that was completely wrong.
He threw him under the bus.
Completely out of character of you. And you should go in the office and apologize to Denard Wilson. You should. Because, one, that was out of character for you. I've never heard Arden Key say that. Now, if he has, my mistake. But I haven't heard Arden Key say anything of that nature. So that was out of character for him. So he needs to go into that room and apologize to the defense, to Denard Wilson, everybody, and just do his job and do it better. That's all. But I don't agree with how he did it.
Mike McCoy told reporters today that he addressed the comments from Arden Key after the game and said that there's an open door policy in the facility, and he mm-hmm. encourages players to talk to coaches if they have an issue. I side with what Willie said, which is Arden Key does not have the stature to say these sort of things. Now, there might be people listening from the first hour mm-hmm. who will say, well, doesn't that also apply to Cam Ward with the Titans' head coaching search? Because he's the number one overall pick, sure, but he's had an underwhelming rookie season.
This is not apples to apples.
Okay, why not?
Because you're talking about a specific coach, your defense, real time,
yeah.
in the season, That's totally different from allowing your franchise quarterback to sit in on a small portion of your interview, the second interview, or maybe even a third interview of a coach that you're thinking about hiring. That is totally different. It's not, it's, you're comparing an apple to a plum, and there's no comparisons.
Look, as we mentioned,
I like them apples.
How dated is that reference, Willie?
You put yourself not back in it. You put yourself in the not cool.
Come on, Good Will Hunting.
That reference
good movie.
Is 30 years old at this point.
What's wrong with that?
Dang it,
I mean,
Willie.
It doesn't really help you with the "I'm hip, I'm up to date" referencing a movie from 30 years ago. That's all I'm saying.
Not just any movie.
It is
it was a great movie.
It's a great movie.
Absolutely, right.
Willie. It's not
okay,
your
but finish
Willie,
your point.
Retro,
your but finish your.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault, Willie. It's
hug
not
it
your
out.
Fault.
Hug it out. All right. So where were you? He doesn't have enough stature.
Right.
So you're saying you agree he should not have popped off there because he forces Denard Wilson. And look, all these guys might be out of here in about a month.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe it's a moot point, but it does remind me of. Sort of the end of the Vrabel thing, though some of this stuff started happening. It's hard when you're 2-11, it's not going to be all hunky dory in the locker room, right?
So that's what
Adam, finish your point on this.
My point is, and I think Skyler on our text line says it in a way that's a bit more colorful, and I'll clean it up here. He goes, Arden Key effing sucks. He's our starting edge rusher. He's not an NFL starting edge rusher. A rotational piece at best. And if I'm not mistaken, Arden Key is not under contract for next season, right?
I don't think so.
So perhaps he feels like, hey, I'm not going to be here in a month. Let me just say what I'm going to say, and I'll go somewhere else.
But that stuff reverberates to other organizations or
True.
Coaches. And what if Denard Wilson goes to another team? And maybe that the other team thought about bringing Denard Wilson. Like, nah, I want to deal with that. Uh-uh, don't bring him in. I don't want to deal with that. So, again, you don't want to burn your bridges. And I'm not saying that Arden Key, I think that was out of character for Arden Key. I know 100% it was out of frustration because when TD followed up with it, it was almost like, damn, I said, it's just we just don't adjust. Oh, okay. All right, I'm going to move on.
May I ask you a question
as
someone who's been in the locker room for so long? How much adjusting actually happens at halftime?
Not much. It's a lot of times because you only got a couple of minutes.
Right.
You know, guys are coming in, using the bathroom, getting IVs, getting, you know, injuries dealt with. So it's only a quick moment you get with the coordinator. Some guys don't even talk to the coordinator. You may get a minute with the coordinator. Usually he's with the quarterback saying, hey, listen. We may come back to this play. We saw them play this defense on this particular down. We may come back to this play. Or we may go to a play we did last week. You remember this play? Yeah, everybody remembers it. Okay, boom, we may go back to this. But it's not like, oh, man, they've been doing it. We need to change this. No, it's just doing things better in the second half that we didn't execute in the first half. I'm not running a whole new offense, a whole new scheme. It's just, okay, that third down, that third 12, we called a corner out. Okay, we're probably looking to run the post on that one. Same concept, looking to run the post on that because they're playing cover two and maybe we can get the seam on that post. That's what same play, but that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about a complete scrap and say, oh, we need to adjust and do all this. So, Arden Key, when he says adjust, what do we mean? Because I know coaches go in there and say, okay, this is what we're thinking about tweaking a little bit, or we're going to play this on this down instead of what we did before because we think they're going to try to go to that play again.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong here. With all of the injuries at safety, Mike Brown is out, Kevin Winston is out, Xavier Woods is out. At one point in the game on Sunday, I can't recall the player's name, and I apologize, but wasn't he, and this is no disrespect, wasn't he – like a Pizza Hut delivery driver or something like that?
He wasn't in the league for a minute. I know who you're talking about.
That was an anecdote that was shared on the broadcast. My point is that it is a skeleton crew out there for the Titans defense for the remainder of the season. So Denard Wilson And who knows if Denard Wilson will be around at the end of the season. The new coach will probably bring in his own defensive coordinator. If it's a defensive-minded coach, he may be calling the plays on defense. But I have respect for what Denard Wilson has been attempting to do with so few NFL-caliber players at his disposal.
That's like me after the game, after we're down to our third quarterback, saying, we need to do something different. We need to do this. We're down to our third quarterback. What more can we do?
Like some of these guys can't know all
exactly,
the plays. Like if you had a lot of
only
things
so many
to adjust to.
Fronts we can run based upon the coverage we got to play. And that's what I think Arden Key, once he said it, he probably thought, yeah, there's not much. But then after it all got out, he probably was like, yeah, there's not much he can do. I mean, damn, maybe I shouldn't have said that. But then again, he probably was like, you know, I'm going to double down. You know, people are doubling down nowadays. He probably doubled down and said, you know what, yeah, he need to adjust. But again, how much adjusting can – that defense do when they're on a skeleton crew? That rhymes, though.
Rhymes. That was good.
Yeah.
one person says, Arden Key did throw shade at the Vrabel administration about not holding guys accountable and making adjustments as well. I vaguely recall this.
Oh, man, I'm trying to think.
I'll have to go back and find it. I vaguely recall what the texter is referring to. But I don't have time to look up for it. I don't have time to look it up right now. But we will get to that. 615-737-1025. Your thoughts on Arden Key's comments after the San Francisco game and Denard Wilson's response. 615-737-1025. But coming up next, we're here at Bridgestone Arena. There was a moderately big announcement yesterday that Nick Saban is now going to be a minority owner in these Nashville Predators. But I'm wondering about another team in town, because I read a column from our friend Gentry Estes of the Tennessean about what the Titans should do with Nick Saban in town. We'll discuss that next. 615-737-1025. We do have a pair of Music City Bowl tickets to give away. We will be giving away those tickets after the upcoming segment. So if you want a chance to win those Music City Bowl tickets, be listening at the end of the following segment, the upcoming segment. I will give you the trivia question in the queue to call. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. Vingan and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you live at Bridgestone Arena. Predators versus Hurricanes tonight at 7 o'clock. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. Pregame at 6 with Max Herz right here on 1025 The Game. And speaking of those Predators, they announced yesterday that Nick Saban has purchased a minority stake. Yes, that Nick Saban, not the other Nick Saban, you know. That Nick Saban has purchased a minority stake in the franchise. By the way, let's see here. Dave on our text line says, there's got to be a song we can come up with about Nick Saban coming to town. I bet you guys can come up with something good. You better,
Willie, you cutting
hold
edge.
On, hold on. You better not pout. You better not cry. Nick Saban owns part of the Preds, so quit asking, all right?
Not bad right off the top, off the top of your head. That's not bad. That's not bad.
Remember that interview he did on the sideline? I'm not telling you, so quit asking.
All right.
Yes, the I's per 60 are going to be through the roof.
Yes, we're
going to
be charting
yesterday.
That analytic graph.
Yes, the I's per 60. So I was reading a column in the Tennessean by friend of the station, Gentry Estes. And Gentry focused in on part of the quote from Nick Saban in the news release. Being involved in a sports team in Nashville has always been a goal. And Gentry thought, well, Nick Saban's coaching career is over. I don't think he wants to be considered to be the Titans head coach. And look, Nick Saban, he's got a lot going on. He's on College Game Day. He's a pitch man for nearly everything now. He's all over TV. He pitches paint. He pitches, Airbnb or Vrbo or one of those things. He's all over the place.
Insurance.
He's got enough money. He's got his hands full, right? But Gentry Estes of the Tennessean writes, quote, Titans owner Amy Adams Strunk shouldn't try to lure Saban as coach. She should offer him the opportunity and a whole heap of money to run her franchise, to pull it out of the gutter, hose it down, and restore its self-respect as it approaches a new stadium, and she should start trying right this minute. The job could be whatever Saban desired it to be. He could hire the next coach. He could decide who he wanted to keep or not as GM or whatnot for day-to-day decisions and scouting. He could oversee what he wanted and delegate what he wanted. He could even keep doing college game day on Saturday mornings, just one Band-Aid. No longer would we look at the Titans and wonder who's calling the shots.
So he's saying he could do all this and be part owner of the Predators? Or is he telling him, like, isn't this a little late to be proposing this?
Maybe in addition to those responsibilities?
How many, are there some clone Nick Sabans that I'm not aware of?
Well, let me ask you.
It all depends on what his.
I mean, he's not 50 years. I mean, he's not.
He's not a spring chicken.
First of all, we don't know.
How many projects can a guy have at this stage of his career?
Right. Well, first of all, we don't know how much of the Predators Nick Saban owns. All we know, it is a minority stake. We don't know the percentage. We may never know the percentage. So we don't know if it's 2%, 5%, 10%. We don't know that. And he can still do college game day on Saturdays. And Gentry even acknowledges in the column, look, it's a sleepy Tuesday in December, and his mind started to wander. But I think his point, at least how I interpreted it, was this. There is a crisis of confidence in Titans leadership, right? People around here distrust Amy Adams Strunk and Chad Brinker, and by extension, Mike Borgonzi, because he's part of the brain trust now. He just got here, but he's part of it now. And that Brinker stank is on Mike Borgonzi for a lot of people. Nick Saban is a proven winner, and the idea of Nick Saban, as Derek knows full well, the idea of Nick Saban, a no-nonsense guy who has won a lot, the idea of him being the perhaps face of your front office would give a lot of people more confidence in the direction of your franchise.
Okay, he's been out there for 2 years. They had every opportunity to do it. I don't know. I have no idea if they didn't do it. For all I know, they may have called Nick Saban. But I just find this interesting timing. Like, he's made this decision.
Yeah.
So is he going to do all this and be part owner of the Predators?
To me, if
– do business people not have their hands in multiple things?
I'm sure they do. Yeah, they do. I'm not sure what his function and role here will be as minority owner. I don't know. And like you said, Adam, they may not ever say what his actual, if his day-to-day or whatever his function is going to be as part minority owner. But what I would assume is if he was to take a job with the Titans, say if they made him, you know, advisor, you know, because teams have advisors that, you know, don't work, you know, necessarily, you know, was affiliated with the team, an advisor, maybe he was affiliated with another team, but we brought you as an advisor to the offense or whatnot. But if they were to bring him in as an advisor, knowing what I know, and it's not like I know a lot about Nick, it would almost have to be he couldn't do the game day stuff because you would want to be here every day, especially a franchise like the Titans where they are. Wouldn't you want to be
right.
here
if
every
you're
going to
do
day?
It, you got to
exactly.
do it right.
That's what I'm saying. So I don't know if that would even be, you know, if you're asking me to stop doing game day, which they're probably paying him a lot of money, you're going to have to compensate him a whole lot to stop doing that. Then you got to ask Miss Terry, can he come back in and do all this stuff? So there's a lot of things where, you know, for me, it would almost be him coaching again in a sense. And if that's the case, you might as well hire him as a coach.
Gentry writes, quote, the Titans need that kind of presence. They desperately crave an authority figure who the team needs more than he or she needs the team. By that, I mean Saban would be able to tell Strunk unvarnished truths without fearing reprisal from the owner's whims.
I thought that was Brinker that's supposed to be doing that, like that middle person.
In theory.
Yeah. So then would that put Brinker out of a job? I mean, I think everybody wouldn't mind. You know, the fans, they're probably like, yeah, Saban, put him in Brinker's place.
Well, that is a little different to me. If you're just asking him to, look, if you got time, can you take a look at our franchise? Yeah. Tell me what you like. Tell me what you don't like. You know, that might be interesting. But like you said, it's like if you're in, mm-hmm. then it's going to take a big commitment. He's just made a commitment.
Team.
And look, we might find. I think in the coming weeks, mm-hmm. Nick Saban's going to
explain
more about what his role with the Predators is going to be. And what he would like to do. We just had some great banter with Barry Trotz, just speculating, just saying he's enjoyed talking with the coaches. He's enjoyed talking like coach to coach, process to process, and he would love to use him as a sounding board. Mm-hmm. And that could be a really good tool for the Predators to use. But, I mean, I love the creativity, mm-hmm. but Nick Saban's been out there for a couple years. I don't know that they haven't already tried this. I don't know that they have any desire. Did Nick Saban look around, hey, I'd love to be in Nashville, looked at the Titans and said, I don't want to be a part of that? I don't know. There's a lot of things that could have been going on.
Thomas in Hendersonville says, it worked out so well for him. It's worked out so well for Saban as a coach in the NFL that he left town in the middle of the night to run back to college. Nick Saban is a wonderful coach and person. However, his experience in the NFL showed us that his method did not work.
No, it didn't show us. Just look at it.
And that was such a long time ago right?
Listen, it was a long time.
And he was right. He wanted Drew Brees. They went and got somebody else and see how Drew Brees' career went.
Thank
you. And see how the other guy's career went.
I would have
left too. I would have left too and went back to college. So I don't think that he was in the NFL, and I think he left on his own. Like, I don't want to have to deal with this. I am leaving and going back to college. I'm sure if he said, I want to coach again, I'm sure there'll be people probably knocking on his door in the NFL saying, hey, we'd like to bring you in for an interview.
One texter, Dustin, says, I would pay him to advise and go from there.
Yeah, I can see that. But is that all he want to do?
Does he want to accept being paid?
Exactly.
Like, does he have the time? Does he have the the desire to do that?
Should we be like,
he just committed. We just got this news.
Hey, Barry, wrap this up. Yeah. I got to go meet Amy on the other side.
Right.
Okay?
I mean, that's like he's got a stake in the Predators. Like, he's somewhere in there.
I'm just imagining Nick Saban on the phone. On one line is Amy Adams Strunk. On the other line is Barry Trotz. And he's talking to Barry. He goes, hold on. I've got to be on hold. I've got to, you know, take this call. And he takes the call and goes, ugh. Sorry, Amy. Barry, he's such a bear, and forgets to actually hit the right button. Nick, it's still Barry. Oh, God. You're breaking up. Miss Terry, help. Yes.
I meant Barry Manilow.
Yes.
Barry Manilow. I was just listening to it.
Who doesn't love Barry Manilow? I bet Willie loves Barry Manilow.
Oh, of course.
Love?
Like?
Appreciate.
There we go.
Yeah.
Love is a strong
okay.
word.
It's okay.
Can't you imagine Willie doing some Copacabana at karaoke?
No, that's not happening. No.
You ain't gonna do a Copacabana?
Not that. No, no, definitely not.
At the
I got other songs I go to.
Kevin from Smyrna says it's fine as long as I don't have to hear Roll Tide on the Jumbotron at Preds games.
You know, sometimes they'll play the Rocky Top, and uh-huh. you know that doesn't fly with some of the people in the arena. It does with a large cross section.
Yes, but there's a faction of people.
So if you're
going
to go Roll Tide, then you're going to get the same dynamic. It gets mixed.
It may even be worse.
Oh, yeah.
but generally speaking, and I think this was part of Gentry's thought process as he wrote the column, which I enjoyed, the Titans need that front-facing person who can inspire confidence in the fan base. We have talked about this ad nauseum. Amy Adams Strunk is uncomfortable in public settings. She is not going to address reporters. She's not going to make comments unless it's in a completely controlled environment. And Chad Brinker still has connections to the previous regime with Rand Carthon. There's a lot of distrust in Chad Brinker and his ability to help turn this team around. Mike Borgonzi is in his first year, and we're still feeling him out. But as I said before, I think some of the distrust in Strunk and Brinker has rubbed off on Borgonzi a little bit, even if that's unfair, just because of his association. He's guilty by association.
It's that contact
almost.
Smoke.
That's right. So, like, the idea of, is there someone out there who can be the public face of the Titans front office who, when he or she holds news conferences or whatnot, Titans fans can go, yeah, I trust what he or she is saying because they've got a track record or whatnot. And I think that was the point with Saban.
No, and you know, the article was a good article, really good article, and I read it through. And I understand what you know, Essence was trying to say. And, yeah, it's a Tuesday, and the news cycle is slow. And they say it's a what if, or, man, I would like to see that, or could that happen? And I think, you know, realistically, say if Coach Saban didn't have any affiliation as far as ownership with the Titans, with the Predators. Would that, I think the fan, if the Titans said we were bringing in, or if it just got out that Nick Saban could be a part of the team, I think fans would love it. I think fans would be clamoring. They would be, I mean, you would hear everybody, right move, great move, great move. They need to have him on staff somehow, some way. So, I mean, from that standpoint, he's right. I mean, it would. You know, from the standpoint of credibility.
Mm-hmm. Credibility is the key word.
Exactly, and respect. I think everybody, even before he walks in that building, everybody respects him. They know the great job that he's done as a coach, and they know he can change a program. So if indeed that was a possibility, then I think the fan base would love it.
Sean on our text line says, I told my coworker, a Bama alum, the Saban Preds news, and without missing a beat, got a roll Preds from him. One texter says, the answer is Derek Mason. Are you interested in the job?
No.
No, because that would mean you wouldn't be here anymore.
I wouldn't be here anymore. Yeah.
And that would make us sad.
Gosh.
615-737-1025. All right. It is time to give away our next pair of Music City Bowl tickets. Tennessee versus Illinois at Nissan Stadium on December 30th, and you've got to earn it. So I've got another trivia question for all of you, and you need to be the first person at 615-737-1025 to call and give the correct answer to David James. So Tennessee, again, in the Music City Bowl, their fourth appearance, if I am not mistaken, but Tennessee is not the all-time leader in appearances in the Music City Bowl. Which team has made the most all-time appearances in the Music City Bowl? If you know the answer, call right now, 615-737-1025. The first person who calls David James at that number with the correct answer will win a pair of tickets to the Music City Bowl. Again, 615-737-1025. Which team has made the most all-time appearances in the Music City Bowl? And it is not Tennessee.
Tennessee has been there. This will be the fourth?
This is the fourth time. I'll give you one more hint.
No more hints.
Fine. We'll give another hint if nobody gets it during the break. Which team is the has made the most all-time appearances in the Music City Bowl? 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 the game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 the game. Come on, Willie.
No.
Okay, this is, fine.
I would select a few other Barry Manilow songs before this one.
We Made It Through the Rain?
That one's not bad.
Okay.
Better than this. This one is just a little hokey. No.
You think it's too mainstream?
No, not commercial, too mainstream. Too just commercial. A little hokey.
Yes.
Okay. Barry's still
Going.
He's going.
He's kicking.
Where were we? We were on the road.
Las Vegas, probably.
No, it wasn't Las Vegas. Where were we?
Branson, Missouri.
No, the Preds. We were on the road, and they were saying, like, sold out shows. Barry Manilow's coming. And I forget where we were. Where were we? Maybe Florida. Maybe it was South Florida. Sunrise, I think.
Well, I think a lot of his fans probably reside.
Down
South
there.
Florida, yes.
If you watch Seinfeld, that's, you know. That's
yes. David, did we get a winner?
We did. We got Alec Fernandez. He won the tickets.
All right. Congratulations, Alec, the winner of the Music City Bowl tickets. The answer to the trivia question, which team has made the most all-time appearances in the Music City Bowl? The answer, Kentucky.
Yes.
Kentucky has made six appearances in the Music City Bowl.
They've done pretty well.
Two and four all time.
Nah. They're only 2-4 in the Music City Bowl?
2-4 all time in the Music City Bowl.
I do remember the first one. I remember the first one they came to was it was the first one in the new stadium. The first Music City Bowl was at Vanderbilt Stadium. Brutal weather. Mm-hmm. And speaking of musicians, I mean, it was like freezing rain, snow. I mean, bad out there. It was packed because it was Alabama, Virginia Tech, two great fan bases. And Steve Winwood was performing at halftime. And want to talk about braving the elements. It was nasty out there. And he was unfazed, man. He was pounding away at the keyboard. He was a pro.
Hey, that
was good stuff.
Do.
But then Kentucky the next year played Syracuse in the Music City Bowl. Keith Syracuse Bullitt. Won, and the MVP was?
Keith Bullitt.
Keith Bullitt.
If you missed your chance to win those Music City Bowl tickets, we'll have a pair tomorrow and a pair on Friday. So be listening the rest of the week. We're giving away a pair each day on the program. Congratulations to the winners thus far. Ron on our text line said, why would the Titans send John Gruden a box of Titans gear? Are the Titans trying to woo him? Well, Ron, I will tell you this. I think this is sort of a thing now. I just scrolled through John Gruden's X account. He's also received packages from the Washington Capitals, the Green Bay Packers, and Army. So I think teams just send him stuff. I don't know
what's
why.
What's in the package?
Like gear, shirts and hats and
shoes.
Stuff like that.
Just because?
I don't know.
Or is this a trend?
Just because.
He's Gruden, man. He's
John Gruden. So
Memphis sent him stuff. Tennessee has sent him stuff.
Yeah, so John Gruden, he's playing the game, man. He's getting that free stuff.
Yeah.
Good for him.
He ain't got about no more.
He doesn't have any stuff? Like, he's been a coach for a million years. Like, he's got to have some good stuff.
Sure
is he trading
does.
Stuff back? That's what we used to do at basketball camp. We traded our stuff.
He probably got it all in a warehouse.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's all a racket.
Yeah, so, Ron, I don't think you have to read too much into the Titans sending a bag of swag, a box of swag, whatever, to John Gruden. It's a trend on social media. I can't say that I follow John Gruden too closely. I also wouldn't want John Gruden to be anywhere near the Titans. We talked about this with very, very, very early on in the head coaching process, like the day after the Titans fired Brian Callahan. I said, no thank you to John Gruden, because people were texting in, John Gruden, John Gruden, John Gruden. I said, no thank you. He's been out of the league too long. I would prefer that John Gruden not be the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. But I don't think – do you think any teams with head coaching vacancies will seriously consider John Gruden? Do you think he'll get interviews?
Oh, man, I'm not sure either way. Isn't he still in a lawsuit with the NFL?
I believe that is correct.
I'm not sure of any team.
But isn't Brian Flores also still in a lawsuit with the NFL? Yeah. And he's going to get interviews, isn't he?
Yeah.
But Brian Flores has been a coach in the league. It's been a long time since
John
Gruden was a coach.
I do feel like John Gruden has paid a price.
Of course.
I mean, it's been a long time. So he's paid a big penalty. So I think from that standpoint, if you really wanted him, I think you would be okay PR-wise if you said, look, what's happened in the past, he's paid for it, he's dealing with it. It's probably up to John Gruden to say, this is what I've done, I've learned from it, all that. And I think he could be a coach. Now, head coach, at this point, his last go-around didn't go very well with the Raiders, so he's pretty far removed from success.
Yeah.
But he's an intriguing guy. Like, I wonder, like, I've always wondered if somebody in the major media would bring him back as an announcer, because he's such a character.
He seems like he's doing his own thing now as far as media stuff.
Getting packages from people?
Yeah, getting packages from people. I mean, I wouldn't we talked about Coach Saban and being a consultant. I mean, Gruden could fall into that same sort of bucket.
One texter,
being a consultant.
Ben says, didn't Mike McCarthy take a long break before he came back? No, he was –
he's gone for a year?
He was gone for a year. His last season in Green Bay was 2018. He started coaching the Cowboys in 2020. Mm-hmm. John Gruden hasn't coached in the NFL since 2021. It's actually more recently than I thought. But he only coached 5 games that season for the Raiders. But he was out of the league for 10 years. He went from his final season in Tampa was 2008, went to Oakland in 2018, then coached the Oakland/Las Vegas Raiders from 2018 through part of 2021. But he was fired because of the controversy.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I, nah.
pass on that one.
I'll pass
I like
on that
Gruden
one.
Too, yeah. But.
Let's quickly touch on this. I think we're going to get more into this tomorrow in the larger conversation about quarterbacks, but the Miami Dolphins benching Tua Tagovailoa.
Wow.
And starting Quinn Ewers on Sunday. Listen to the financials of this situation for the Dolphins, courtesy of ESPN.com. So Tagovailoa has $54 million in guaranteed compensation next season, plus another $3 million guaranteed of his 2027 salary if he remains on the roster on March 13th. The Dolphins will eat more than $99 million in dead cap if they release him this coming offseason. That number drops to $45 million if they're able to trade him, but a suitor seems unlikely considering his contract.
You stuck.
Yes.
You stuck.
Well, we saw the Broncos do this with Russell Wilson. What was that number? 80, 85?
Yeah.
And this would be 99?
You just got to deal with it, man. You hope. And it's not like he's a bad quarterback, but he's just not worth what you're – he hasn't played what the price tag says he should be playing. Because, I mean, and then a lot of it could be, you know, they talked about this earlier. I was watching First Take. Those concussions, man, I think they've done I think they really have taken a toll on him. I don't think he's the same player.
The question is, what is the end game? Can he bounce back? Will this help him just taking a step back? Because this is, again, has me thinking, Dolphins? Not going anywhere? Just let's see what the kid can do. Let's just throw him out there. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that, but he probably doesn't give you a better chance of winning than Tua, as bad as Tua has been.
Well, the Dolphins but the have question been accused is, what's the of record? Openly tanking in the past.
Well, that it got them in a lot of hot water. Uh-huh. Probably should have gotten them in more hot water than it did. But
maybe not accused, maybe actually doing
it. I mean, it was he put it on there, the email or whatever. Yes. It was there.
Yes, that's true.
But what is the reclamation project? Because are they going to make a coaching change? I don't know. I'd love to know what – how you get him back, because he has been pretty good, and you've got a lot invested in him.
I know that there are Titans fans out there wish-casting this idea of Robert Saleh as Titans head coach with Mike McDaniel as offensive coordinator. And if the Dolphins fire McDaniel, but who knows. But Quinn Ewers starting, the report from ESPN says the Dolphins have not made it clear whether Tua is going to back up Quinn Ewers, or if he's going to be deactivated. By the way, the other quarterback on the roster, Zach Wilson. So Quinn Ewers, Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson.
Yes. Quinn Ewers, Zach Wilson.
The Zach Wilson.
The Zach Wilson.
Man, this is.
And
this,
Quinn Ewers is ahead of him.
This is for Miami, for the organ. That's big news, man. That is like this. That decision that they're making, it could be really, really costly. From this day, you owe this man, like, what is your plan with Tua? Like, you just benched him. You just benched the guy that you're paying $40 million to.
For a seventh-round rookie.
Like, one, his – I don't care what he says. His pride has taken a hit, a massive hit, unless he's dealing with injuries. But then they would have said something in regards to that. But how do you, like, as an organization – I'm not saying you can't come back from that because winning cures everything or at least mask it. But, man, that's tough. Like, you put him back in there, what if he doesn't play well?
I'm not sure you can put him back in there.
Not this season. No. You're going to have to put him back in there if you can't trade him.
Or you eat the money. You eat the dead money.
Damn.
That would be a lot of money to eat.
That is, woo.
And is he? Are you sure he's washed up? But the health thing.
Yes.
That's the
concern for me. The health, the concussions that he's had. I think he's. Has he been worth the $100-something million that they know? They've had a bunch of injuries too. But man, when you bench him, gosh, that's saying a lot.
615-737-1025. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow will join us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on Cam Ward wanting to be involved in the Titans head coaching search. We'll talk to him about the Heisman Trophy presentation fallout and Diego Pavia's behavior. I'm sure he has some thoughts on that as well. We'll get all into all of that with our friend Hutton coming up next. 615-737-1025. We are presented by Bax Homeworks. Remodeling done right. Get a free estimate now at BAXHomeworks.com.